Alrighty, 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, as we have the privilege of having Mr. Virgil Peck in studio, and things are off and rolling in Topeka, and you know, it's always a busy time of year as we get kind of things started, but thanks for making the journey here to chat with us again.
Absolutely, I always appreciate the opportunity that KGGF gives me to visit with you and the listeners. I kind of would like for, when I do come home from the Topeka, the big city, for you to have some sunshine out there.
Yeah, well, we're working on it for the afternoon.
Oh, so I got to wait till afternoon. So why did I get up so early?
Well, actually, it's getting colder, which is weird. Yeah,
but hey, this is February. By the way, just as a little reminder to all the guys out there that aren't paying attention, because I have to look at a calendar, Valentine's Day is coming up. Guys, you don't want to forget that.
No.
You can get yourself in some really hot water with the ladies, your lady, if you don't remember that day and do something special. Now, you're going to have to determine what something special is.
And that doesn't include running down at 5 minutes until the store closes and grabbing whatever's left on the shelf.
No one's
done that.
It doesn't?
No one's done that, though.
No, us guys don't do those kind of things. No, we plan way in advance.
Way in advance. Several hours, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, we have got a lot to get through today here. We've got, of course, the news that we have the new KBI director that we had on the news.
That was kind of interesting process, actually, James, because Tony Mativi is the new KBI director, and the KBI director is chosen by the attorney general. Of course, we had Derek Smith as our attorney general for about 12 years, so we didn't really have turnover in the KBI director, but each attorney general wants to select their own person. But Tony Mativi was one of the three that ran for attorney general of the state of Kansas. Chris Kobach won that race. When Mr. Mativi went before the Senate Judiciary Committee for his confirmation hearing, the chair of the committee was Kelly Warren. Kelly Warren was the other candidate on the Republican ticket. So in the primary, you had Chris Kobach, Kelly Warren, and Tony Mativi. They were all three in the room involved in this confirmation hearing. And, of course, they're all cordial to each other because the election is behind us. We move forward.
Yeah. No, that's a great reminder there. So, yeah, neat to have that. And then also, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we're still in various hunting seasons and that sort of thing, too. And you said there was a report that came out about hunting land in Kansas and relating to state-owned land, right?
That's true. That's true. The Department of Wildlife and Parks appeared before the Senate Agriculture Committee as we heard their budget, and they always make a presentation about how wonderful they are. Every agency does, not just Wildlife and Parks. It's like, we're such a wonderful agency, you should give us a lot of taxpayer money. Well, no, not necessarily. But anyway, back to the question or the subject at hand. I was pleased, James, to learn that Kansas ranks number 48. Now, some people may not be pleased, and that's fine. These persons entitled to their own opinion. But Kansas ranks number 48 in the percentage of land owned by the state. I am not a fan of land being owned by the government. But since 2015, the state of Kansas has only purchased a little over 1,800 acres. So in the last 7 years, which 1,800 acres is a lot of land, by statute, any time that the department wants to purchase 160 acres or more, they must get legislative approval. I've always voted no to allowing them to purchase land. But be that as it may, it is something that hunting and fishing are important to the Kansas economy and to a lot of Kansans and some out-of-state people. There is a walk-in hunting access program, which the Department of Wildlife and Parks has land that they, of course, make available, but they also have over 1 million acres total enrolled in this program. And what they do is they will lease land from landowners and make a payment to them as to basically rent the land for hunting and fishing access. So, again, it's one of those things that I realize the argument for having hunting and fishing land available for Kansas citizens. Those of us who live out in the country, well, we kind of hunt and fish on our own land or our neighbor. But
sure.
There are those who live in the more urban areas or cities that don't have that opportunity. So they will hunt and fish on public land. But there is, I think, sufficient available. But Department of Wildlife and Parks keeps telling us they need more. They need more.
Well, you know, the good thing is, you know, we have some of those western states that have just vast sections of land that's really almost useless for most practical purposes. And so, you know, the government, you know, BLM land, all that stuff out there will own it because, you know, private landowners might not really have much of a reason to own it. And we don't really have that problem in Kansas, which is a good thing.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of land that's used just for grazing of cattle, for example.
The heck out there, there's, I mean, they you can graze it, but it's like, I'm like, really?
Yes.
Like maybe five? head?
You can't put very many head on very many acres because they're just not the grassland, the foliage available. On that topic, by the way, James, I am the lead sponsor on Senate Bill 100, which it was interesting on the, I'm going to call it the farm show or farm report, whatever it was, and that's not the proper name, but the guy was talking about at the federal level, there's some bipartisan legislation to disallow ownership of land, agriculture land, by China. I've got legislation similar in Kansas. Several states have passed this legislation. It would disallow ownership or foreign ownership of rural land in Kansas. We shall see if we can get this accomplished. I do know that our Attorney General is going to be pushing this along with me. But to me, it's a matter of national security. James, when foreigners own land, they do what they want on it. Particularly if we've got land that surrounds our military bases, I would personally like to see that we have a buffer zone. But this legislation would disallow for future purchase of land in 100 counties in the state of Kansas from foreigners. Now, there are some groups that oppose that. We shall see if we can come to some type of agreement. They say, well, it should be lands that's or countries or foreigners that are on our watch list or considered terrorist countries, or they have various definitions. But I still think it's a matter of national security. I'm not breaking new ground here with this legislation. Other states have done it. So we'll see how that comes through. But so far, I have not found individuals who have been opposed to this legislation because they believe in making certain that our land, our ground, is owned by Americans.
Well, and especially as we have, you know, last week with the balloon going over, maybe that changed some minds too, you know?
Well, thank you for bringing that up. You're exactly right. That did kind of, I think, get people's attention to understand we're in a little bit of a different situation than what we had been. We've known for my lifetime that, yeah, foreign countries spy on us. They have spies. They have people that come in and they will fly over. In the past, it was planes. Now it's drones. Mm-hmm. You don't even know they're going over. Except when you got the Chinese with their balloon. It's, of course, I think we should have shot that thing down as the moment we spotted it, but we didn't.
We should have gotten the Kansas National Guard out there, you know. They should.
Hey, our Kansas guys and gals could have taken care of that immediately.
Right?
But that was a decision made by the highest office in the land, and, of course, I'm not sure. Well, I'm not going to go down that road.
Sure. Well, hey, speaking of various pieces of legislation, you said we've got some updates on that.
Yep, we finally on the Senate. The House had previously passed a few bills. There has been nothing that has passed and been signed into law by the governor, but we've got a few bills that I think will fly through fairly quickly now that the process is really moving forward. At the beginning of a new House term, it's always slow in getting the ball rolling. You got freshmen to orient. You know, Ron Bryce from here in Coffeyville, for example, he's a freshman. A quick study, learning quick, but no matter how intelligent you are, there are just some nuances to the legislative process that it's like, really? Well, I guess that's the way it works. I'm going to have to learn how it works.
Well, and it's just like any new job, you know? There's all sorts of little things to learn.
There is, absolutely. And the legislator is one of those little more challenging.
Oh, yeah.
But Ron's doing a great job. But anyway, the House has passed some, but the Senate just yesterday finally voted on some legislation. The first two bills to pass are non-controversial, kind of your feel-good bills, if you will. One, Senate Bill 11, will provide for an ad astra plaza on the State House grounds. We've got quite a bit of ground up in the Capitol. It's a two-square block area, but we will, if this legislation goes through the process, I'm sure it probably will, we will make provision for the Ad Astra Plaza. and a part of the Ad Astra Plaza will be a life-size sculpture of Ad Astra. Now, when I say Ad Astra, some people, I'm certain, are like scratching their head. Well, Ad Astra is the Kansas Indian that is on top of the Capitol. A lot of people, James, don't realize the Indian on top of the Capitol is over 22 feet tall.
Yeah, it's huge.
And when you get close to it, you realize, oh, yeah, that's big. Of course, you got to get close to it by climbing to the top of the dome. And
don't be afraid of heights.
Yeah, no. No, I've had people go up, though, that were afraid of heights, and they were hanging on to the rail very tightly, which is fine.
You ever go up there and eat your lunch or anything?
I haven't done that because I don't have much leisure time. But last year, there were not tours to the top of the dome. There are this year. So if people come to the Capitol, which I invite people to come to the Capitol, it's your house. It's not my house, not the governor's house. It's the people's house. Come to the Capitol. Taking a tour to the top of the dome is something special. Now, it is a tour that takes some hiking or some walking.
Yeah, it does.
But they can go out up close to the Indian. But that Indian also is 4,400 pounds.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's a heavy Indian. So the Ad Astra Plaza will have a smaller size Ad Astra, probably, I'm going to guess, 6 feet. If it's life size, about 6 feet. And so that's one that passed. By the way, this plaza and all expenses incurred in establishing the plaza and decorating the plaza and putting the sculpture on the plaza will all be private money. No tax dollars will be expended for this other than passing the legislation is tax dollars. The second one we passed will allow for a mural in the State House, and the mural will be of the Kansas Colored Voluntary Infantry Regiment. Now, you'll have to go back and study a little bit of history to learn about the Colored Voluntary Infantry Regiment, and I have not gone back in history, but this would allow for a mural. We still have a few walls in the Capitol that don't
just
have
a
mural.
Not very many left.
There's not. And now I have no idea where this mural will be located in the Capitol or how large it will be, because there are places where you can put murals where the mural might not be nearly as large as others, but it would still be a mural. It's not going to be the John Brown mural.
That's my favorite.
Standing there with a Bible in one hand
and
a rifle.
And the tornadoes and fire. It's great.
People that haven't been to the Capitol, James, are wondering, what's James talking about?
Yeah. You got to go see it. Yeah, the famous John Brown mural there.
Right across the hallway from the most reliable elevator, which is the cage elevator, cable run elevator. Been there the longest, most reliable. When others aren't working, just go to the cage elevator. Yeah. It's working. Now, it does have a live personal operator. So you don't just get on and push buttons. It's got an operator. You tell them which floor you're going to, up or down. And it's really cool on that one to get on the elevator at the fifth floor. And hopefully there's no stops to have to make along the way and say, go to the first, because they can open that up and you drop.
They can control how fast it goes. It's pretty cool.
It does. But those are the first two pieces of legislation that passed. Then we passed several that have to do what we call rats and cats in the Capitol, meaning they're important to certain individuals. They're really not controversial, but they're things that need to be done. But yesterday was Insurance and Financial Institutions Day, if you will, because we passed six FII, financial institutions and insurance bills. I won't get into the weeds on those because they aren't anything that most people would care about. I have been testifying. I tell you what, James, I've been surprised at how many times I have testified before committees this year on legislation. I've taken the lead on several. Some legislators never, ever testify in front of a committee. And I have been in front of a committee, I think, seven times. I've got more legislation next week. I'll be testifying in front of the insurance committee. So it's kept me busy. I haven't done a good job, and I must apologize to any listener who's listening who sent me an email and expected a response or called and expected a response. Well, I read emails. I just don't have time to respond to them when you get a large number of them, because I'm working on getting legislative things accomplished.
Yeah.
But I'll eventually respond to them.
Now, speaking of legislation, has there been any updates on the water bill? I know that Doug Blex has been working a lot on and everything.
There's been some discussion on our side, but the House is taking the lead on the water issues. So I will be able to answer that better in the future, being part of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on the Senate side. But because of the fact that we've got guys like Doug, that's his area of expertise. He understands that better. We shall see if his proposals go through. most likely they won't. They'll be changed. Mm-hmm. But we do need to do something because water is vital to the survival of human beings and livestock. And I realize sometimes people focus on the here and now. I got that. We do that sometimes with our finances. But our water resources, particularly as you consider the Ogallala Aquifer, always a tongue twister for me, out west. We had an interesting presentation in Commerce about how that might could be replenished with time. Mm-hmm. But once that aquifer is depleted, it's depleted.
Yeah.
And it takes a long, long time.
Well, and if you study anything about the state, especially for our western Kansas neighbors, I mean, that is literally the most important thing in two-thirds of the state. You know, it's huge.
It is. They don't have the rainfall that we have here. Now, we've got some of our public areas. For example, we've had a lot of discussion about Elk City Lake, about Big Hill Lake, which are right here in our neck of the woods. Make certain that they have an adequate water supply. The drought has shown us our vulnerability. We've got some reservoirs that need to be dredged because of they silt in, and that reduces the water capacity. So we try to clean those out, increase water capacity. So it's a big issue that we're working on. Not one of those really interesting issues to a lot of people, but it is important to everyone.
Sure. Well, as we wrap up, you said there's been some discussion about taxes and kind of changing some of those.
It's been some discussion, James. Man, there's been lots of discussion.
Single income tax rate, okay. Specifically.
Okay, yes. Next week, the Senate Tax Committee, which I'm vice chair of, will hold a hearing on Senate Bill 169. Senate Bill 169 will move Kansas to a single income tax rate. This bill, as proposed, which may be changed, likely will be, as proposed, would put the income tax rate at 4.75% for all income taxpayers. Now, I was looking at last night, getting ready for next week, if you are married filing jointly, the first $10,450 of your income would not be taxed at all. Currently, it's much lower than that. Currently, it's only $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And then if you are all other individuals, which means head of households or single filers, it's $5,225, your first amount of adjusted gross income. You would pay zero income tax. Currently, it's $2,500, so it would more than double. But what that means is a simpler process, more straightforward. After that $10,450, everybody pays 4.75%. So it's a simple process. States that have a single bracket or no brackets actually have been growing better. Kansas has three. I was surprised when I looked at some states have like 8 and 9 different tax brackets.
Wow.
Kansas at 3, I think that's too many, mm-hmm. But we're not as bad as some other states. But then some states have 0 income tax. And honestly, James, those states have done a better job of growing. In Kansas, and I've been telling everybody this because there's so many proposals I'm throwing out and some people don't like them. I got that.
Sure.
Let's have a discussion.
Yeah.
The reason I throw those out, what we've been doing is not working. Our population is stagnant as far as we're not growing. Our population is getting older, like me. I appreciate young guys like you. But we've got to do something different or Kansas won't be able to survive. We have more and more government spending, which I do not like at all. I oppose. And same population, which means population, same population for more government spending, pays more taxes.
Well, we're going to have to try some creative thinking, I think. But we're going to leave it there for today. Mr. Virgil Peck, always a pleasure.
I appreciate the opportunity, James. We look forward to next time.
All right. You thanks so much. And hey, 31 degrees right now in Coffeyville as we head towards the news here on the Mighty 690.